Day 30, the Holy Ones, Daniel 7, verses 15 to 27. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was deeply distressed within me, and the visions in my mind terrified me. I approached one of those who was standing by and asked him to clarify all this, so he let me know the interpretation of these things. These huge beasts, four in number, are four kings who will rise from the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. The fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, different from all the other kingdoms. It will devour the whole earth, trample it down and crush it. The ten horns are ten kings who will rise from this kingdom. Another king, different from the previous ones, will rise after them and subdue three kings. He will speak words against the Most High and oppress the holy ones of the Most High. He will intend to change religious festivals and law, and the holy ones will be handed over to him for a time, times and half a time. But the court will convene, and his dominion will be taken away, to be completely destroyed forever. The kingdom, dominion, and greatness of the kingdoms under all of heaven will be given to the people, the holy ones of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will serve and obey him. This is the word of God. The book of Daniel is grouped with the four other major prophets of the Old Testament for good reason. Daniel had an unusual gift of prophecy. In this extended, overwhelming vision, he has even been able to speak with an angel and been given the meaning of the events and characters portrayed before him. In these verses, we learn six things about what it means to be God's people. 1. God's people are meant to be holy. Three times, God's people are called the holy ones of the Most High. To be holy means to be made pure, to be set apart by God for his special purposes. Daniel is an example of someone who, like salt, maintained contact with the sinful culture, but was always distinct and apart from it. 2. God's people can expect persecution and hardship. The four beasts represent four godless kingdoms, the worst of which would be the fourth. 10 other kingdoms would rise up, and in the midst of them, there would eventually come an Antichrist who would subdue parts of the world, resist God's people, try to reorganize society around his wishes, and eventually bring about a short period of severe persecution against God's people. God will deal with him eventually. The church between the two comings of Christ is called the church militant because we are locked in battle against the forces of darkness, the continual assault by a godless culture, the enticement to sin, the wiles of Satan, and various kinds of persecution. Although we have peace with God, we live out our faith in the midst of a cosmic war. 3. God's people will one day be freed from suffering. God will not tolerate the suffering of his people forever. There will come a day when the heavenly court will sit and Satan, the Antichrist, and savagery will be destroyed forever. On that day, the church militant will become the church triumphant. Idolatry will be eclipsed by true worship of the living God, once and for all. 4. God's people will one day rule the world. In verse 22 we read, the holy ones took possession of the kingdom. And in verse 27, the greatness of the kingdoms under all of heaven will be given to the holy ones. Jesus will be king of the earth, but he plans on sharing his rule with us. We will be his envoys and instruments, his princes and princesses, reflecting his character to all creation, enacting his will and wisdom in the cultivation of a God-filled, eternal society, where humility, justice, ethnic diversity, harmony, creativity, joy, peace, and love will be the order of the day. Truly, the meek shall inherit the earth. 5. God's people are already in training for reigning. The life of Daniel inspires us to not only wait for God's kingdom to come in finality one day, but to already be an envoy and instrument of the kingdom in whatever situation we find ourselves in today. The Son of Man has already come to the Father and has released the Spirit upon his church. Like Daniel, it is our privilege to reveal God to a godless world through our purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in our right hands and in our left. And 6, God's people point others to the true King. Daniel did a sterling job of doing just that. In fact, over 500 years later, 3 wise men from Persia followed a star in pursuit of this king. It is likely Daniel's impact on their ancestors that played a part in that. The Magi had heard about the coming Savior because of the uncompromising witness of a Hebrew captive who had given over 60 years of his life to following God in a godless world. He had spoken of a stone that would be all of history's hope, the Son of Man, whose kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and whom all rulers will serve and obey. What about you? Of the 6 things you learn about God's people in this prophecy, which is most meaningful to you today? Why not turn your reflection into prayer?